All right, let me jump on over here to my opening monologue, The Right Side Way, and listen. It's interesting sometimes when I write something and then months later I realize, man, I was like spot on, and then I find more about it and I need to talk through it. And so listen, about 7 months ago, I did a monologue right here on the show, and I called that one The Suddenly Effect. I was reminded of it again this morning when I read a devotion in which the author used that very term, but he took it another step. For everything momentous that seems to happen suddenly, things that jump into existence, there's often and more likely an epic amount of blood, sweat, planning, laboring, and even prayer that has gone into creating it. In other words, good stuff doesn't happen by chance. Everyone loves a good, lottery moment story where the poor guy was suddenly the rich guy with no effort. But those stories, they're generally the stuff of urban legends. The real stuff, the suddenlies that we see on the broad scale, those are built over time. Generally speaking, they're not so suddenly. So let me step back and say there's a great deal at stake in the months ahead. As conservatives, as people who care about the constitutional republic that we've been called upon to steward, we should have a heightened sense right now of the import of the coming elections. This year's 2024 presidential cycle, and again, 2 years from now, when Governor Ivey is going to be running for, or Governor Ivey's not going to be able to run for another term, leaving an open seat. Look, I'm talking about, these are big deal political moves. We can and should help shape the narrative. We should shape the culture. We should provide that hope that comes from decisive action skillfully executed. Suddenly, we take it back. But really, what looks like something that happened overnight, like on an election day, is really a thing that takes time and effort and planning and prayer. I mean, how long did it take for Noah to build the ark? A long time, actually. Biblical scholars have determined the construction of the ark took somewhere between 75 to 120 years. 120 years! All that time to build, and then suddenly it rained. And then suddenly they floated. But not really. The story of Noah's ark was not so suddenly. It took time and effort. I mean, you can think about it in military parlance. How quickly a battlefield commander can put troops into the battle space is often a decisive point. Can a commander react to good intelligence and insert troops in a timely and operational manner? Can the commander exploit the enemy's weaknesses, bolster his own troops against heavy opposition? Does the commander have the sustainability for the fight? And let's not forget, too, the enemy gets a vote. The best laid plans never survive first contact with the enemy, so the commander better make sure the best laid plans have contingencies, and the plan can pivot and readjust. It takes real effort. To the enemy, the troops arriving on the battlefield may seem suddenly. But to the ground force commander, it's really a long haul built on years of training and preparation. Suddenly is not always suddenly. Somewhere I've got an old photograph from the mid-80s, I believe. I don't know who took the picture. I believe it was taken at Fort Riley, Kansas, but I do know for a fact what was going on. It's a picture of me with my face painted green, my rucksack piled up in my lap, my M16 rifle pointed down. I had apparently gone all in on the camo face paint because you could barely make out my facial features. But what you could also see, though, without any question, was the white of my teeth as I was grinning from ear to ear. My adrenaline was up, my spirits were high, I was having a hard time believing I was getting paid to do stuff like this. We were conducting basic air assault training, and it was my first ride in a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter, and man, what a ride it was. That day stands out not only because it was the first day to ride treetops in a Blackhawk, but it was also because of how those pilots flew. From the moment that the go was given, those aviators pulled pitch and we went screaming hot over the terrain. I'm talking flying nap of the earth with the doors open. I was sitting facing the front in the right side door, and as we banked over the contours of the ground, I felt like I could reach out and touch the trees with my hands. A Blackhawk's top speed is somewhere around 180 miles an hour. But I know we were going fast enough to cause my cheeks to ripple back to my ears. There's no roller coaster any theme park in the world that compares. And here's the thing. Suddenly, we touched down on the objective LZ and went into our mode to see ground. So, on a battlefield, an air assault operation, which is what we were training there, that's a decisive high-speed means of delivering combat power to an objective in very quick time. If you want to deliver shock and awe and put boots on the ground quickly or suddenly, then going air mobile certainly got to be in the mix. I'm a paratrooper, but I'll readily admit that when it comes to precision delivery of troops, that a heliborne insertion is pretty accurate. It has another effect, though. It creates on the battlefield the suddenly effect. As the sound of the rotors turning to the opposition's ears can be heard, they often can't tell first where it's coming from, but then suddenly, the first wave of big steel birds clears the far tree line and begins touching down in an orchestrated effort. Suddenly, wave after wave of troops hit the ground. Suddenly, there's a shift in the momentum. Suddenly, there's a massing at the decisive point. But the second and most important aspect of air assault is the employment of disciplined, well-led, highly motivated troops into the battle space. Suddenly, there's a capability on the ground that was not there before, and the enemy knows it. But there is the not-so-suddenly part of the story. The fact that a good air assault operation is prepped in advance, the raising and the training and the equipping of the force, it occurs well before the operation commences. The battlefield sees suddenly, but the commander knows the not-so-suddenly. We have to stay in tune with that in our political environment. Because what I just described, that could be the analogy for many things, things we care about, things worth fighting for. We as conservatives must look at the next several years to include this presidential cycle as a cultural and political battlefield. It's a battlefield not with actual bloodshed destruction, but rather a battlefield of the principles that we stand for. It all starts with the not so suddenly. And I'm going to be honest with you, I've seen it work. We all have. I've seen groups of salt-of-the-earth folks in small towns get together and decide just to arrive on the scene in suddenly fashion. In a disciplined, well-thought-out moment, they take the initiative. Small groups calling themselves things like Tea Parties or Moms for Liberty or Young Americans Foundation. Changing local politics. Groups of parents who all went to school boards together. Groups who banded together and suddenly shocked the corporate giants who thought they could have their way in a small town. Agenda-driven cultural and political movements that change the landscape of whole states. Just folks, you know. Just moms and dads, every walk of life, every level of education, raising their kids, paying their taxes, and making a difference because they met in somebody's living room or at a church or rented the community hall, and they talked and they planned and they gathered up more like-minded friends, and they were often disregarded by the opposition like some kind of fluke or rabble. They were going through the not-so-suddenly part. The not-so-suddenly, where they spent time and effort and even prayer in getting ready so that they could suddenly arrive on the scene later. At the school board, the city council, the election day polling sites, they show up, and they literally change the momentum and put the opposition back on their heels. Listen, here's the deal. In not-so-suddenly fashion, start building that force if you haven't already, and then launch that plan in suddenly fashion. And mass our efforts in decisive manners on the cultural and political terrain that we choose. Make no mistake, too. This is a battlefield of principles, and we as conservatives, we do have the numbers. There's more of us than there are of them. We just got to make sure that we see the time through in the not-so-suddenly portion to train people up, to get them ready, so that when the day comes, we can insert them into the battle space in a quick, decisive, disciplined, suddenly fashion at the time and place of our own choosing. We can make a difference. I'm convinced of that. So wake up, stand up, pray up, plan, build, train. You do all of that not so suddenly kind of stuff, but then you get there suddenly, man, and the enemy's shocked. I do. I call it the not so suddenly effect now. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, it's a great devotion this morning. And once again, the lovely Charlene's the one who's pointed it out to me, but I couldn't believe I had actually written along those lines back in January of this year. And I realized that there's more to the story, because what the enemy sees as suddenly when we arrive on the battlefield is all built on the not so suddenly. And we've got to be in it for the long haul and do what it takes to prepare. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.